every year I try to examine a different parsha in Chumash, and to me it's an exciting venture, almost an odyssey. And if you spend the amount of time that I devote to it, you will discover incredible nuggets that underlay the surface of the text of the Torah that are incredibly revealing, incisive, insightful, that are fascinating, enthralling in every aspect of them. And here's another example of a parsha that Baruch Hashem, in the summer, I could devote myself a bit more to this examination. So I would say umpteen hours were spent at this. And I think the, I'm not saying the mission was completely accomplished, but to my Baruch Hashem simcha, I think that there's a very significant nekuda here that is, that to me, is hischatrus. And that's basically what I try to do. So we're going to examine a parsha in Matos. This Shabbos happens to be, we're reading the parshas are separated one from the other, Matos and Masi, often they're together. And you will see in the upper left-hand corner the parsha that we're going to discuss, which is the parsha of the Milchama of Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael against Midian. Now Midian, of course, the story of Midian goes back to earlier, Shukim, but from the end of Parshas Balak. That's what the Torah describes, a rather sordid event that took place that actually is the subject of what I mentioned last Shabbos in the Chabura, namely Kanoi and Pogimbo. And that event, that was a very sad, very telling event to Klal Yisrael, where we have a Nasi Shevet Yisrael consorting with a non-Jewish woman publicly, which was absolutely almost beyond belief. So right away, in the beginning of Pinchas, up right-hand corner, I'll start with those psukim. By Davri Hashem, Moshe Lemor, Soror, Samidyonim, V'kisem, Rosal. The term Soror needs a lot of examination. The entire shiur can be said on that term. But let's just translate in a very simple way that clearly the Midianites have to be accosted and clearly have to be somehow shoved to the side. V'hikisem, Rosal. Kitzorim hen lochem. The word sorer, we're familiar with the term actually, Isar Goye, Aman Ara Azeh. Sorer usually is an enemy, but not just an enemy. You want to say an enemy? The enemy, the term is Oye. The term sorer means someone who has sinister and pernicious kind of themes in his life. What he's trying to do usually is more of a, not just a physical destruction, a physical decimation, but primarily a spiritual one. So here, Tzorah Sabin Yonim, again, that word, hitnaklut, which is also modern Hebrew terminology, nichleyem, refers to, again, methodologies of an evil nature. And the Torah goes on to say, so that's the backdrop for what's going to happen now at the beginning of Parshas Matos. The Torah describes Moshe Rabbeinu is told to embark on essentially a war, but we'll see the nature of this milchama is markedly different than other milchamas that we encounter in Tanakh, and especially the milchamas that we are familiar with, especially those that are found in Chumash, are primarily milchamas that are really designed for the purpose of kibush haaretz, of conquering Eretz Yisrael, and there are many, many halachas that are associated with the kibush haaretz, and many, I would call them even really principles that are Klal Muhammad. And we'll notice here that all the Klal Muhammad are not relevant. Somehow this seems to be a Muhammad of a totally separate nature, and we'll see momentarily what I'm referring to. So let's start reading the Psukim, and we'll just get the general, the overall impression, what I'm referring to in a moment. Right away, we are thunderstruck by the language of Nekom. Of course, Nekom refers to some sort of Nekoma, some sort of vengeance. And the way the Hashem describes it, Nikmas b'nei Yisrael v'esam inyonim. There's a need for some sort of Nekoma. And then the Torah, strikingly enough, says, Achat yasim al-mecha, which Rashi really comments on, that this is going to be literally almost a sin qua non, and then Moshe Rabbeinu is going to depart. His demise is being, in effect, telegraphed by the Torah. But the Torah connects these two. Connects the Milchemes Nakama, doesn't use the term Milchama. It uses the term Nikom, Nikmas B'nai Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu is going to pass on. Of course, the question, by the way, is Ma'in and Shemitah, it's our Sinai. What's the connection between the death of Moshe Rabbeinu and this particular event, this particular episode that the Torah is describing? We'll see about this also in a few moments. And this is essentially Yesham Adapim. So here, as I said, we have in the upper left-hand corner this nekama that Moshe Rabbeinu was asked to engage in. And this language of nekama, again, is going to be repeated in a moment. By Daber Moshe Lam, Demor Heichol, Etzume Yitchem, Anashim Latzava, V'yiru Al Midyan, Vaseis Nikmas Hashem B'Midyan. Again, the term nekama is not the terminology that's employed here, that's used. We're talking about the first pasuk, Nikmas B'nai Yisrael. And then Moshe Rabbeinu himself, Nikmas Hashem B'Midyan. It seems to be Nikmas Yisrael and Nikmas Hashem. That's what he mentioned by the Medrash. That actually underscores the fact there's a duality over here that's taking place. But again, as I said, we'll see that the Klali Milchama are not those that are in effect being miyusam. Again, something which is very striking. Where do we find in the other Milchama 1,000 from each tribe? The Torah uses the term Elef three times. So there's a big Machlokes of Rishonim, Machlokes in Medrash, Machlokes in Chazal. How many soldiers were involved? Were the 12,000, 24,000, 36,000? Different opinions, Chilukei Deos in Chazal. But this is something which is very striking because this type of Gius is unusual. Elef Lamateh. Elef Lamateh. The whole Matos Yisrael Tishuch Latzava. Everyone should be represented. And then, Vayimosru Me'alfa Yisrael. That's the Russian, the Nifal language of Vayimosru. Again, it seems to be something which was ran counter to their thinking. Rashi already on the spot notices this, and as Chazal noticed it as well. Look at Rashi, you'll see that Rashi points out in the context of this terminology, Rashi says, Lo diacho shivchon shavoa Yisrael. How beloved are the leaders of Klal Yisrael to Klal Yisrael? Actually, Loshavu v'Misasan, Ma Omer, Omer Yadus Galuni. Till this point in time, to Moshe Rabbeinu's departure, his demise is being telegraphed. What is the reaction of Klal Yisrael? They are on his case. That's exactly the function of Klal Yisrael, to cause essentially leaders to work for their job and work overtime. At this point, when they heard that one depends upon the other, then they were basically had to be coerced in order to enter this, because really deep down, Klal Yisrael appreciates their manhigim. But the way Chazal quotes, the Rambam quotes it, the Rishonim quote it, that they're going to throw blisteros at the manhigim. But now at the point where Moshe Rabbeinu now is about to depart, all of a sudden they refuse to accept that. That's another very significant element of the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Manhigim. I continue. Vayishlach also Moshe Elef Amata Latzavo. Again, the lashon of there's a shlichus. They're sent to where? Tishlachu Latzavo. I didn't say Tishlachu L'Milchama. Tishlachu Latzavo. And the Torah goes on to say, also Bias Pinchas Ben Ozakayim Latzavo. And then we have another difficulty with the next language, and this is the subject of a lot of discussion among the Gdolei Rishonim, which I don't really have time to, unfortunately, enter, because it requires a lot of explanation. What is exactly Klei HaKodesh? Again, if you look, if you have Rashi, which you do if you have a Chumash in front of you, so Rashi already comments, says Rashi, the Klei HaKodesh is the Aharon v'Atzitz. Rashi underscores two kelim, the Aharon HaKodesh and the Nezer of the Tzitz, Nezer HaKodesh. The Torah continues. V'chatzotzos ha'tuah v'yodah. This also needs attention. In general, we're familiar with Pesukim Baal Yitzchak. The Torah says, "Asay lechosh dechatzay says kesef mikra tase also." Oy lechal the mikra ha'eda ulamase samachanos. So exactly, the question is, what is the role of the chatzotzos over here? Are the chatzotzos integral? We know that when Klal Yisrael are being gathered together, v'akilas akol tisku v'lo sariyu. But here the question is, what exactly is the role of these chatzotzos? In general, chatzotzos, I just mentioned the psukim in the Pasha Balitzna, so that's what the Torah defines the role of chatzotzos. And it's interesting that the Gemara says in Maseches Seita, the Gemara points out of Ben Gimel, the Gemara says, Pinchas ze Moshuach Melchama Ochle Akvedis Zara Melucha Sheba Chatzot Satua Elu HaShefes. Apparently they were talking about HaShefes. That's what the Chazal, the Gemara says in Seita. There were no Chatzotzes Melchama. And it was beyond Pinchas. So it's interesting how the Torah presented over here, as I said, in Baal Yitzchak, Perek Yud, if you look earlier, Chisavo Melchama Be'artzechem, Ba'aveisa Mechatzotzes, but this is Melchama. Then there's the Din of Chatzotzes. Apparently here it's not a Melchama, as we have begun to describe, and therefore, because of that, we're talking about Shefes and not Chatzotzes. The Ramban in Maseches Tainis, that you know, you actually have it here in your sheet, the Ramban points out, I read the Lashon of the Ramban, you have it in front of you, on the on page number 2, is where Ramban and Tainus, and Daf Yudalev is in the left-hand column, upper left-hand column. Ramban points out something very fascinating. He writes, "Kshoyvin boyim al Yisrael ba'aretz li'lochem nezuchiyu chatzeses." When the enemies come to wage war against us, then it's an obligation of chatzeses. Ramban also took him in Baloscha that I just mentioned. He said, "Bom lucham be'artzechem alatzar atzorah eskem." Avo, Ramban says, "Kasher Yisrael yotzev milcham aloyvin." When we go to war against our enemies, then there's no obligation of chatzotzes. That's the Ramban writes the last paragraph of the Ramban. He quotes this Gemara in Seita and Daf Mem Gimel Aleph. And many actually point this out from the Medrash. And therefore, it's clear that the nature of what's happening over here was markedly different than their normal situation on the Chama. And that's why here we're speaking about Shefes and Achatzeses. And this itself, as I said, needs a longer, much longer explanation, which I, unfortunately, because of constraints of time, I'm not able to do. But going back now to the Pesukim again, upper left-hand corner. So the Torah now is describing some sort of a campaign. We don't exactly know what the nature of the campaign is, but we know it's not classic Milchama. Pinchas is the one who's going to be Melade, the Tzav of Shlichus, and here Rashi and Chazal comment exactly what the role of Pinchas is. Clearly has something to do with the fact that Pinchas was the Kanoi in the event that the Torah describes at the end of Parshas Balak. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, the beginning of Pinchas. Heishim is Chamosim be'avalei Yisrael and Kanoi is Kenosi b'Seicham v'lochilis is b'rei Yisrael and Kenosi, and therefore he's involved here as well. The Torah goes on to describe now Vayitzvu Aminyan, this language of Tzadik Bet Aleph is the term, both noun form and the verbal form that's being used again and again. All the males were decimated, and all the Malchei Midian were killed. The next pasuk was Ches, and the Torah has a list of them, the five Malchei Midian, and Bilam the Mor also Hargu Becharim.
Why would they be included in Kozakha?
Why was that?
Why would the Malachim be included in Kozakha?
That's a good question. And probably, I would imagine, because they have a special role, even though they are. Kozakha refers to the, let's call them the average foot soldier.
Maybe they wouldn't be up front.
Okay, that's also possible. I mean, there are a number of possible answers to the question, which is a legitimate question. But anyway, the Malchei Midian clearly had a role to play that was unique. And Bilam ben Bor Hargu Becharim, he was the one essentially who was working for them. Vayishmu b'nei Yisrael s'nashem Midian b'yastapam. And meanwhile, they take into captivity the women and the children and the animal, the livestock. And then we have they come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that the next section, Moshe Rabbeinu comes with a lodges a complaint against him. Don't you remember what happened in Baal Por? And now here calls Zohar Batov, Bechol Ishi Odas Ishi Mishkav Zohar Arogo, and Bechol Atav Moshe Mishalev the Mishkav Zohar Hayulachem. So clearly we're talking about behavior of an errant nature that Moshe Rabbeinu was taking them to task. But again, as I said, that this word that appears here many times, the word Saba in this parsha, as opposed to other milchamos against Sichon Ma'og and the like, or the previous milchama of Klal Yisrael, it doesn't even appear one time. There seems to be something of a vastly different nature. Name that's how I began with. This is the milchama of the Kama. Tzaroras HaBinyanim V'kisim Asam. And apparently there seems to be a very significant mandate that, and the mandate has to do clearly with sexual promiscuity, with the different ethos that this country has, that they intended to perpetrate against Klal Yisrael. This we'll see in a moment. You take a look at the Ramban. We'll start with the Ramban in the upper right-hand corner. Ramban comments in the printed version. Ramban says, "V'tam b'nichleyem kasher pirashti kizikne b'idyon chashra machshara ra azos," is they wanted to go ahead and undermine Klal Yisrael. So how do you go about doing it? So the Ramban says, "V'lo shenema v'yomer mo zikne b'idyon ki bohem nisyatzu v'tchilot." They consulted. They asked advice from the zikne b'idyon. They nosnu eitzazu b'morav, and the eitzah was nus, that they should engage in all types of promiscuity. And they were connected to the Baal Pora, Ladicha Me'al Hashem, Yod She'Sholachem, Bas Melochim, Lizno Simayim, and even queens and the like were sent for this purpose. Zed Tam, the Al-Dvar Kozmi, Bas Nasi Midian, Achesom, Ki Ulei, Bidad, Yod Si Malkut, Nasek, Kulev, Ad Melach, Bimidian, Mat Vagim, Mishitim, Barom, Ravas, Moab. What are they doing over here? Where did she come from? She was a plant. They knew exactly that this is an area of weakness, namely changing the sexual mores of society and using all types of promiscuity and women who are clearly from a different district, so to speak. And they will undermine Klal Yisrael. Once Moshe Rabbeinu was told, these are the tzorim. Hine kalam esnakta b'chuyom v'nisim v'chene nisim gam bilom ki yadu shu bala eitz hara azos. V'hine yitzim ha-kodesh bol ni-nokim em. The bol was my bol. I bol the Ramban. It's not bol the Ramban al-Tera. So the Ramban says here, what was the nature of this mandate, of this mission? Nekoma. Al amuav im kar izi al tzotzer es maya. We're not allowed to start up with Moav, that's Yadua. In Kain Azara, Al Tzatzar Asmoav, Mugdem of the Mitzvah Tzoratz of Binyonim, is the same verb that we're not allowed to do with Moab. We are obligated and commanded to do, mandated, visiting the Binyonim. And as the Ramban ends quoting Rashi, Rashi quotes in Medrash that the Moabim, what they did was their involvement was purely out of fear. They were worried that the Klal Yisrael would overrun them. But the Binyonim, they came with a sinister, treacherous, on the hand in kind of mission, and that's what Rashi quotes. The Ramban next, this is in the Ramban in the Hashmatas and Sefer Mitzvahs. This is also another very famous Ramban. The Ramban actually has a, besides the analogy that he draws between Moab and Midian and the distinction between them, but there's also a very fascinating issue that I alluded to a moment ago, and that's found in Sefer Mitzvahs. In Sefer Mitzvahs, there's a discussion. And this is get to another very famous issue. How many Shvatim were involved over here? So the Torah speaks about Elef Hamata, Elef Hamata, Shnei Rasul Elef Halus Yitzhava. 12,000, namely, assuming 12,000 is the number, assuming you don't have 24 for the second Elef and the third Elef, 36,000. The question is, Shevet Levi. Was Shevet Levi involved in this Milchama or not? So there's Machokes Harishonim. Rashi quotes on the pasuk, "L'chol matas Yisrael tishlechu latzava." L'chol, says Rashi, the rabbi Shevet Levi, they're also included. The goyin has the opposite. The goyin is a Vilna goyin, has the opposite girsa. Matam loma vayimasu lahaytzi shivtel shel Levi. They're excluded, said the goyin. They were not involved in this milchama. They were not mishtatev in this milchama. So this is really about. I mean, the loshen vayimasu neged b'tzonam the nifal. Is used. So apparently this is the subject of Machlokes Tanoim between Rabbi Shmuel, who claims that Shevet Levi were not involved in this crowd, they were not involved in this Nekama, and Rabbi Akiva, who said they were involved. And there's a Sifrei. I'll just read you the Lashon of the Sifrei. It's actually quoted here by the Ramban in Hashmatz. It's the second Ramban on page 1, in the middle of the page. I'll read it in one moment, but there the Sifrei has Machlokes And this is a famous machlokas. In general, when Klal Yisrael enter Eretz Yisrael for the purpose of conquering Eretz Yisrael, so what is our attitude towards the local denizens? The Torah said, "Lo sechay kol neshama." The parsha pasha v'eschana hachim tachrime. A mitzvah completely obliterates the Zayin Avanim. But in terms of giving them an opportunity to essentially throw in the towel, do we give them that opportunity? So the answer is yes. The karasal shalom. Now the question is, what do you do as far as surrounding them and not surrounding them? So I just want to read the first sifrei, if you don't have it in front of you. The first time the comment says, you surround them from all four sides. And Nelson says, no, you give them the fourth side so they should be able to run. And this is another discussion. But in the Hashmatas of the Ramban, and the Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Ramban, there's the other mitzvahs that the Ramban claims the Ramban forgot to count. Both mitzvahs are saying, those are saying, so here's mitzvah hey. I'm reading mitzvah hey now, the Ramban that you have in front of you on your page, right hand column, the second item. Shin Stavino, Kishenotzor Alirli, Naniach Acham and Arucha Belim Matzor. When we're about to lay siege to a city, what should we do? In such a way where one side is left essentially not part of the siege. What a stunning Ramban. Even during a time of Melchama, we shouldn't lose our humanity. And we have to somehow give them an opportunity to escape. And the Ramban goes on to say, and he gives an explanation. We don't give them any hope. I mean, I don't know if the analogy is a good analogy. Here we have this mighty, mammoth, massive Russian army taking on a small country, the Ukraine, that can no way possibly match the invincible forces of Putin. And yet what happens? When they're under such unbelievable lachats, all of a sudden they gird their loins and they're going to literally, they're fighting for their lives, and somehow they're going to have developed kochot that they themselves didn't know they had. That's what the Ramban here refers to, because if someone knows he's completely surrounded to the point where Chas v'Shalom, essentially his life is on the line, so what does he do? He just simply either completely collapses or, on the contrary, rises to the occasion. That's what the Ramban writes here. Lo yiskasu likvasenu shenem ra'yitzvah al-midin kashatzim ha-shem ez-moshe v'doroshu v'sifrei hikifu ha-mishol shu'chosel rabdos omer ten le'im ruach v'yesh yimrucho. The ends of mitzvah show up in Minyan, but the mitzvah of the Doros, we call milchamos or rishos. So right away, the Ramban tells you there are two types of milchama that we are familiar with. Milchamos mitzvah, neged Yisrael, neged tzar, shevalim. The Rambam says, the machlokes of Rishonim, what's included in milchamos mitzvah? Rashi Sanhedrin, the Bat Beis, and a lot of Rishonim are into this discussion, what's called the milchamos mitzvah? Amalek is only milchamos mitzvah, Zayin Admin, milchamos mitzvah. Then the question, other types of milchama, even Klal Yisrael here in Eretz Yisrael, that we're essentially been under siege since the founding of the state. Under siege. And Rabbi Kamenetsky, I'm going to Rabbi Kamenetsky, that's Al Tomi, 1983. We have a Shas Mochama. Arayom Azeh. We have a Shas Mochama. And there are different halachas that are applicable. So the Rambani says that he writes, the Einzu Mitzvah Shoah B'Midyon. This discussion in Midyon is not a Mitzvah Shoah. Mitzvah Dodoros. The Chom, the Chamas of Rishus. And he writes further, and the Ramban actually goes on, essentially, according to the Ramban Shita, Melchamas Bidya was a Melchamas Rishus, not a Melchamas Mitzvah. As a matter of fact, the Sefer Achinuch that I did not cite for you, but I saw he also writes in Tovkut Bayin Zayin, he says, by Melchamas Mitzvah, Ein Mechayim Kol Neshama. That's a possible Chumash in Baruch Chana. Lo Sechayim Kol Neshama. By Melchamas Rishus, Manicha Me'em Atap Anoshim. And you also leave Ruachat Ba'ir, because it's a Rishus. And that's the pasuk again by Melchemes Zayin Amamim. Akipin also be called Tzach. There, the obligation is to decimate, destroy the denizens of Eretz Yisrael. So the point of the Ramban and Sefer Achinuch, this was a Melchemes Rishus. It was a Melchemes of Nikmas Hashem B'Midyan. Yeah, but they left over Ruach Reviyat in order that you should be able to escape. They also did not kill the women and the children as they normally would do. In the Melchemes Mitzvah, and the Machlokes Tanoim, as I said, whether this is a Melchemes Mitzvah, where he keep also the Arba Kibunim, or Melchemes Rishus, that left the fourth Ruach, so these are also two Gisos in the Sifrei, whether Shevet Levi was Mishtatek in these Krabot, according to the Grua, they were not Mishtatek, because really that Machlokes seems to be, wasn't a Melchemes Mitzvah, Melchemes Rishus, that's exactly the Machlokes Tanoim in the Sifrei, and that's also the discussion between the Goyim and others with reference to this matter. Let's have, by the way, if you take a look at the Mishnah Chochma, that's how he explains the Machlokas, the Rambam and Ramban, whether we're talking about Melchemes Mitzvah or is it Melchemes Rishus. But I simply want to, if I can, you know, mind on the bottom lower right hand corner of page number one again, the Ramban continues further. He writes here, as I mentioned earlier, Lo Shalach Shom Kolam Hatzava. So he only sent a very handpicked, selected number of people, Elef Amate. The Abishoya Minyanim Amrav, the Aram Mitzvahs Mo, they live in fortresses. And they are a massive army, numerically. The Atam Kianich Sholim, Bibno Moav Hayurabi, Ben Ruyam Nikmas Hashem. Al Kach Bochum Anoshim Tzadikim Yidum Shiteyim. Who here is going to be involved in this effort? Only tzaddikim. In general, chayalim have to be tzaddikim. They are tzaddikim, just by virtue of the fact that meisah nefesh shekol yisrael. But here you need tzaddikim miyuchodim. In this nekama of Hashem, it's not a classic nekama for soldiers. Binei, Moshe lo tzivo osam hayasu. Moshe didn't tell them what to do. You all normally a nekama has a plan, a strategy. Rak omer lehem lo seiz nikmas Hashem b'minyo b'yitzochino. And he said them, Muwatim, Lahakol Biori Aprosi, the Halays Tom, Lahakol Mayan Mayan Listom, the Hol Kalkato Baba Hiba Vanim, Kiminaga Sholim, Lotsimulam Dama Rakli, Lokim Kashetim Matse Yodam. He basically did not go into detail to minutia, but rather is an overall, overarching kind of Muhammad Nikama, Hashem is Bar Hashalam, Muhammad Nasa, Midim Machem, Rayam Yodam. So we see then Ramban, and we'll see this also on page number two, further, that this is again the subject of a discussion. Rabbeinu Bechayeg, another one of my absolutely fantastic mefarshim that I know how to...
It's a mitzvah for a different reason, for the kama, as opposed to, let's say, for the
kama. But we have very delineated definitions of what's called Melchemes Mitzvah. I mentioned that Amram has in Melchem Melachim, he tells you what they are. Melchemes Yisrael Miyatzor Shebo Aleihem, that's the Melchemes Mitzvah. Zayin Amim, Melchemes Mitzvah. Amalek is the Melchemes Mitzvah. Now, once you go beyond that, such as this Melchama of Nekama, that's not where does it say that Nekama is an obligation of Melchemes Mitzvah?
No.
What?
That's
the goal of the... But that's not called the Melchemes
Mitzvah.
If you look in the Rabbeinu Bechayeg, he also elaborates on this further on page number two. That's why I cited here.
So what's the update? So Melchemes Mitzvah?
Yeah. The term Melchemes is not used here.
What is it?
I mean, a Melchemes Choma is an obligation that all Kol Yisrael has to partake in. That's not what's happening over here. And as I pointed out at the very outset, the nature, the rules of Melchama don't seem to be applicable over here. It's a totally different type of Melchama, especially whether Sheva Levi is included, not included. Sheva Levi is not included in Melchama. That's right here in the Rambam's. You turn the page sideways, page number two. So the Rambam also tells you regarding Sheva Levi. We know that they don't take Kol Sheva Levi Muzar Shalom Yitchal over Eretz Canaan. They don't take a chelik in the biza, b'shoshe kosher v'sa'arim, and he goes on to describe exactly what their role is. And he writes in halachah yibayz in perek yidul shmita liyover, v'lam lo azach alevi, v'nachas eretz yisrael v'bizaso, neshehubdu la'avnes Hashem v'shoso, lo'ez drachah v'ayshon v'shvadim v'sadikim. They primarily serve as spiritual kind of function. La'orchim l'chama kishay yisrael v'lo'lechlam v'lo'ezechlam atzim v'kar gufar. Ein chel Hashem. Next Rambam as well. Rambam goes on to say in Perek Bavel's Malachim, Amen Umar ben Shachanan l'shalom shenem l'asidur shalom v'zav v'asam. L'fi shenem ma'arim chayeshe b'kirvacha v'atov lo lo tenen yachal Amen Umar ken tamalom rambam v'zav v'asam. Alo b'she'en shalim v'shalom v'shetzor n'alil l'tosim akim v'asam v'yavro chasel. There again, he speaks of, essentially what you see is the fact that there's an opinion that Shevet Levi is involved in this Melchama that itself, a Raya Mukhachas. There cannot be a Melchemes Chayva. Shevet Levi, I'm going to discuss in a few minutes, hopefully, if you permit me to, the role of Shevet Levi. And you see that Shevet Levi, the best example to me, of course, is what happened in the context of the Cheder Egel. I'll discuss that in a few moments. I just want to show you in Rabbeinu Bechayeg here, if you don't mind. He also, once again, following the theme of the Ramban, he also, in a very similar kind of way, take a look at the page number 2, upper right hand corner. So right away, he points at Yesh Omrim, that in the third line of the Rabbein Bechayi, Nikmas Oyvecha, and he quotes what I mentioned earlier in the Shir, Amu B'medvish HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my Nikmas Oyvecha, Moshe said Nikmas Hashem, Omri HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yibana Shalom, Bilu Ayinu Arreglu, Avi Amnazor, Lo Yisonim Asano, Yamas Arinu Asano, Yishlatar Vamisa, Shilasatul Anu, Hanukam Shalcha, Lo said Nikmas Hashem B'midyon, Ha'im Ekenegit Yisrael, Kedami Neget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's something here that's embedded in Midyon, which runs counter to our very essence, to our very ethos, to our entire existence, not so much physical existence, but spiritual existence. I'll get to that a little bit later if you don't mind. I'm going to extrapolate from here to something else. But, and he then goes on to say that similar to the Ramban, the Midyan got involved, Ariv Lolahem, then he continues. Hey, Cholzum Eitchem, this was a fascinating critique of Yeshua Ben Nun. That Yeshua Ben Nun, again, Hashem was Mekatzer 10 years from his life. He should have lived 120 years like Moshe Rabbeinu. But unfortunately, as Chazal say, when he came to fight against the Laman al-Malachim, he said, if I carry out my mission, I'm going to die. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu, right after Malchi Midyan, Moshe Rabbeinu died. So what did he do? He was Ma'akev, the Melchama, Chazal, Yeshua Ben Nun. Because of that, Yom Rabbi Masa Yeshua has called Malachim Eilam Melchama. Again, there's very meduric in David Mechayi. What did he do? He was engaged in Melchama. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kachas he saw. And in Mekatsim Mishnah Sech, he should have been lived 120 years. Instead, he lives 10 years less. And you see here from this Rabbeinu Bechai as well, again, that the Melchama of Lama al-Malachim was a Melchemes Chayva, a Melchiyah, and that's why he had to carry it out. Here, this is a different type of Melchama, Malchim Midyan. And Moshe Rabbeinu's death is associated with it. So further, the Rabbeinu Bechai goes on. He goes on to describe what's that. I won't be able to discuss it properly. But all the dinim I mentioned here, the dinim of Hagolas Kalim, and the Ovishen Wallace Akasha, why isn't this dinim of Hagolas Kalim mentioned earlier? There are other wars. So why is it daft over here? And the answer is because Sichem Ba'og is Minachas Yisrael, Hutalem Kol Shlom, B'gmar Chulin. What's included? But Midyan was not ours. To me, this is irrefutable, the thesis that I'm presenting. It's like elementary, my dear Watson. Wrong shoot and other base. After studying the matter for many, many hours, umpteen hours. Anyway, Mekitzer, the truth is I had this premonition earlier. I just needed to prove it. You know, they accused the Briskers of having preconceived notions, and then they have to bring rights to the notion that they have, which is more or less what happened, but this is an old story going back many decades. Anyway, so here, the Rabbi Nechai also said, all the dinim of Tumah that are quoted in Dafka, the Halachas Babalas Kalim, is something which is of Gi'ul nature over here, that has to be extirpated and exorcised, and somehow removed and eliminated. That's what I'm going to talk about in a moment. Anyway, just the bottom, Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar points out a famous statement of Chazal. The pasuk says, "Lo nifka mimenu ish." Not one person, not one person was nifter. Zeha yapelo otzum umianisim agdelu shiru liyisrael liyolam bekatan lechemit midyan shoya am rav kechol asher asfat hayam vodu yisrael b'shem mem alafim revado va'kosim eich shalachasim yisrael echa. Not even one person died in this milchama. That's what Chazal say. That's what I'm going to come to in a moment when I discuss exactly what I think is underlying this entire the entire picture, the entire story. So I want to just, based on what we have laid down this thesis, namely that the nature of this event, campaign, was markedly different than all the other campaigns. And I would venture to say the following now. Again, the question is, why is Pinchas so centrally accentuated? And what are the clear? So Rashi here says, I mentioned before, that Pinchas began the mitzvah when he killed Kozbi Basur, and now he was nismane lahashna mitzvah malocha. Oh, similar to Chazal, hamasa b'mitzvah, oimla gomor. You have to complete the job. Tanu yeros minu ziel. Over here says play HaKadosh refers to the Urim and Tumim. Lishomayim. The Chatzor says to Abiyado, La'asiya machane ben Yisrael. Because according to the Targum Yosef and Azir, the Chatzor is not a function of Melchama, but rather Lahakil, Le'aso Besom, where the Pasuk says in Baal Islam. Masa machanos. So, as I said, when it comes to Melchama Shushus, there's no need for an Aron. You take the Urim and Tumim in order to find out what's going to be the result of this Melchama. And that's what Rashi quotes as well. I read the Lashon of Rashi. Vayichlas kol ha-sholol, says Rashi Magin, show you cherim v'tzadikim. V'lo nechshinu al ha-gezel, v'shurach yad bebizo shalom v'shus. Shenema es kol ha-sholol, v'aleim v'furush v'kabolo, shinach yedu ha-erechelim, shigol shumei ha-regilo. Rafan shi ha-milchoma, elu, kulam tzadikim. Rashi quotes that they all were great tzadikim. Now this milchoma was markedly different than the other classic milchomas. So milchoma, as I said, of tzadikim, and there are Kaichas Ruchnius, namely the Klei HaKodesh. I'll read the Lashon of the Medrash, you don't have it in front of you, but I alluded to it a moment ago. The Medrash says, why Elaf Amata three times? Elaf Amata, Yesh Omrim Shnei Alofim Tal Shem V'Shem V'Shalach. Yesh Omrim Shosh Alofim, either 12,000, 24,000, or 36,000. And if it's 36,000, then we have essentially three different groups. One is the group that's involved in the actual combat. The second is a group that is a support system. The third group is engaged in tefillah, as the Medrash writes. Shnei masal b'tefillah, el v'amate, as you see. So the Medrash says that the fact we have a combination here of what is going on, the combination, a hybrid, a shimub of number one soldiers, but also a support system, but primarily tzaddikim who are also involved in tefillah. Where do we find such a parallel? Lefi Aliyus 90. There's only one other place where we find such a parallel, Melchemes Yisrael Ba'amalek in Mephidim. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yeshua there, end of Pashas, B'shalach. B'char lano anoshe mitzei lochim Ba'amalek. Mochar, anochi nitzav alush agiva mati elokim biyodi. Mati elokim biyodi. Rashi over there says, anoshe giborim b'yirei chet shetei s'chusa misayaton. And then, of course, we have the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. I used to a Rebbe of mine is to sing a niggin. Yondo shel Moshe, oy sais milchama. What was that? I'm not, unfortunately, don't have the mumtis, Rav Weishlita, that other people have. I'm very not knowledgeable in Kabbalah, all areas. This area is certainly one of my areas of Achilles' heel. But I do know the Rebbe used to sing it. That's how I'm familiar with it. Countless times. In what grade? When I was a little kid. And he even had a, oh, show, gross, gross, milchomos. And as I'll say, Kalmachi is some sakum taki maila. That's how I know that Mishnah from that Rebbe. Otherwise, I wouldn't know that Mishnah. And the pastor says, oh, you're the Ben Muna Abba Ashomesh. What's the Lashon of Ben Muna Abba Ashomesh? His hands are outstretched. So I think the common denominator between both this Milchama and the Milchama of Amalek, Milchama of Midian and Milchama of Amalek, both of them basically are real low. Suddenly, the way the Malbim describes Vayav Amalek, as they say, Plutzling, they appeared on the scene out of nowhere. Who invited them? Where did they come from? The Malbim has a long Aricha, so there he explains that usually countries engage in battle for X number of reasons, economic reasons, ego reasons. I mean, every possible reason we see in the war between Russia and Ukraine. Every single reason is there. But the main one is ego. That's clearly the major reason. That gentleman's ego, somehow he's a megalomaniac as it is, but somehow needs further bluster. Anyway, so here, I want to point out to you another area of commonality that I think is very significant. There it says, "Vayachol Yeshua es Amalek ves Amay lefi Charev." What does it say here? "Ves Bilam ben Bahor Hargu beCharev." And Rashi has a comment. The famous Rashi. Rashi says, "Ubal Yisrael beHechlif umanuso bumanusam shein neshim elu befiim aydei tefila ubakasha bohu betovas umanusam lekalu befiim." He decided to grab, to steal our thunder, so to speak. Namely, our tefillah thunder. That's how we are significantly known. And we decide to go ahead and steal their thunder. So in effect, what we see in both of these melchamos is something which to me, a melchamos nekama, that essentially is not operating with the classic rules of warfare at all, and that we see from many rayas. Maybe I'll bring you a third analog, a third mashal that I think also is relevant. That's the mashal of Parshat Tisisa. The Ramban actually himself already, if you remember when the Klal Yisrael Echad HaEgel, so they call this Mil Hashem Elai, and who comes to the scene? By Yesu Alon, called B'nai Levi. The B'nai Levi, the Shevi Levi comes to the scene, and they told the Abi Imo and the Echon Imo, Ben Bito, here go Isha Noshav, etc., go kill, and don't distinguish between relatives and non-relatives. And the Ramban over there draws an analogy in Kisisa between that Pasha and the Pasha over here at Midyan. And the Ramban says that they had no Rachmanos on their own Krovin, and Kohen Hashem Elokei Yisrael, says the Ramban over there, is not part of the mitzvah of the Pasuk Mishpatim Zovech, where the Torah says, Zovech L'Elohim Yochrom, Yiltzel Hashem Levado. No, it's not part of that, because they're not Chayim Nisim Meradim, but it's a mitzvah that was told in Piyag Mura. Why? Because of the behavior they were engaged in. And that's also, the Ramban says, what we have here in Midyan, Kachas Kol Rosh Yom, so that to me is exactly this is the pshat. I heard actually in the name of one of the Ger Rebbe's, when I was a little child, so there was a Rav, HaGoyin of Kusil Fuchs, the Chassan de Bracha, who lost his entire mishpacha. Did you know his son? And the son of Far Rockaway. Moshe Fuchs. He stayed in the shul. He lived in Far Rockaway. Yeah, he used to drive from Far Rockaway to. So his father, lost his whole mishpacha in the Holocaust, came to the shores of America, married an American woman, probably 30 years younger than he was. And they had one child, Moshe Fuchs. Shashem Yarachem, Baruch Hashem, he's left to many children. And so this Rav had a massive influence on my life at a very young age. I've thought about it before in the past a fair number of times. Anyway, so he sent over, maybe when I was 7 years old, I didn't write it out because at that time I wasn't taking notes. I started taking notes around 8 or 9. But at the end of 7, I wasn't exactly holding. So he said on this pasuk, if I must have the Alpha Yisrael, now I have to somehow Diok, I mentioned the Diok is not his Diok, but the Sitzachom, yes, the Kasha. So what about Chayalim Mishevi Levi? According to Rashi, the Rav Mishevi Levi, so what's going on here? Shnei Masa Elo Chalutzei Tzora. It should be 13 Elo Chalutzei Tzora. That's what the Ger Rebbe asked. So the answer is, Vayimosu, he said over the name of the Ger Rebbe, I don't know which one. Otherwise, you probably would know. Vayimosu, Lo Diachor, Rashi says, Shimchon Shavu, Yisrael, Kamein, Chadim, Yisrael, because they knew Moshe Rabbeinu was going to die, and all of a sudden now they don't want to go to this entire Melchamas Mikmas Midyan. And basically, because they knew that after Achat Teresiv El Amecha, therefore they had to be forced. However, there was one Shevet that did not have to be forced, namely Shevet Levi, said the Ger Rebbe. Why did they have to be forced? It says he had his barim, uvris vayitzaylu. And therefore, the Tzivri Hashem to them is Gober and every other Shikul. That's the only Shikul they have in their lives is the Tzivri Hashem. So right away, they went out. Mirtzaynom, they knew that even though Moshe Rabbeinu was their own flesh and blood, but they carry out the Tzivri Hashem eagerly. And that's why they're not included. Vayimosu me'alfa Yisrael. That's what the Ger Rebbe said. You hear what I'm saying? And more or less, that's what I heard when I was about 7 years old. From Rabbi Kusil Fuchs, inside the Bracha. Okay, anyway, my point I'm trying to make here, and I will try to be brief, since luckily the timekeepers are not here. maybe they are in other forms, and I don't know. But anyway, I am about to now to extrapolate from here to what is going on in the world that I'm living in. And the world has changed in the last 30 or so years, maybe less than that already. We have a small group that becomes a powerful movement. And even so-called people here in this country I don't know if I'd call them in the mainstream. They adopted some of their positions, some of their beliefs. Maybe I won't mention the name of the movement. You can more or less figure it out. There's a lot of Rosh Hashanahs. So I am absolutely astounded how they go about doing what they did. I heard from a very chashuv rav who told me they are essentially engaged in all types of methodologies which are designed to focus on people's pain and suffering. Of course, we should empathize with their situation, identify with them because of the difficulties that they have, etc. And anyone who disagrees with them essentially has a certain kind of phobia. I won't mention the specific phobia that they have, but associated with that movement. And they attempt to delegitimize the opposition. And the term phobia means that I have anxieties that interfere with my functionality. I'm not able to function properly because of these anxieties, etc. And the truth of the matter is that we see that this is what he does also. Putin is a mumcha in this area. Anyone who opposes the regime, either before you know it, Iskadil, Iskadei, Shmei Rabba, or is sent to Siberia, or put into some psychiatric ward, because anyone who opposes them is obviously suffering from some severe psychiatric condition. That's fairly obvious. Okay, whatever they utilize, etc. So at one point, we thought that these individuals were, again, we certainly sympathize with their problematica and try our best to see what we can do to assist them. But we see this in other areas as well. I'm talking about, and this is what this Rav, Fasher Rav pointed out, you see it in the feminist movement as well. Initially, women wanted equality, which they're certainly deserving of. Is my name Wano? Why should we not give them equality? And the issue was suffrage and voting and a lot of legitimate demands. And then we have a second wave where essentially now we're trying to blur all the distinction between men and women. And they call it, wake up and smell the coffee. There's another term they use, but it's of a similar nature. And so after that, and then they can easily extrapolate from there until the point where literally the Torah speaks about mishpacha. There's such a concept called mishpacha. There is no concept called mishpacha. Doesn't exist. And the family structure is under attack. And we have to respond to this. Again, we have to respond to it. Again, I'm not going into all the details now of different therapeutic practices that our people have attempted to utilize. I'm not going to the specifics. But the fact of the matter is there's a campaign of intimidation and very aggressive. And even here, unfortunately, in Israel, you have these loud, colorful parades. And any attempt to protest is obviously, at least from the secular media world, is clearly something that's subject to persecution. And they should be those who are don't believe in democracy and the like, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's no question. There's a massive evolution which is taking place right under our noses, and they're trying to redesign Polycell. But in fact, we have to understand how they're doing it, the mechanisms that they're using, which are, as far as I'm concerned, completely and totally unconscionable. And we have to find ways of, I'm not saying that we engage in any kind of milchama v'kama, chas v'shalom. I'm not saying that. But we have to find ways where we can show people that this approach essentially is convoluted, not something which is founded on any Torah kind of foundation, even though they're trying to find that. Also, I have Chaver in the United States who are in the Rabbanus, and they're challenged by this now in the Orthodox synagogues. People asking for aliyahs, people who are, with one or two exceptions, namely of their proclivities in this area, they claim to be Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. And it feels possible to maintain that Shmiras HaMitzvahs, despite this kind of behavior, which is clearly not in sync with Dini HaTorah, Chuki HaTorah, Ashkenaz HaTorah, the Ruach HaTorah, any aspect of Torah. So we have to somehow try our best to, as best we can, because now it's in our community. Thank God it's not yet so pronounced, but I've now dealt with it the last number of years in a personal kind of way. And therefore, we have to just find ways to address it, but primarily in a tempered, rational kind of fashion by showing the beauty of Torah Seinu HaKdosha and how we have certain norms of Mishpacha, They have two genders, they have different tafkidim, they have different roles, and that's, no matter how many different types of surgery and operations and who knows what that are going to take place, at the end of the day, we have clear, delineated areas that we have to somehow try our best to maintain, and that is the purity of the Seder HaKadosha. Halavai, we should be successful, not just in this mission, but all other missions as well. La'agdil Torah, la'adira, amen.
Great.